Good morning and welcome to Community Connections with Children's Services Council of St. Lucie County. I am just one of your hosts trying to get the show started, Sean Boyle, and with me is
Ashley Mock. I apologize.
You're making faces at me, but welcome to the show that's all about talking about the faces that Ashley makes, as well as resources and things that are available in our great community that we call St. Lucie County. Now, myself, Ashley, we are not media professionals. We are not radio show professionals, and you have already figured that out. But what we do at the Children's Services Council, what we are very passionate about and professional about, is working on five priorities for our community. And those five priorities are: one, making sure every baby is a healthy baby; two, stopping child abuse before it happens; three, keeping kids off the streets; four, keeping them in school; and five, keeping them off drugs, alcohol, and other risky behaviors. And when I say that we work on those priorities, we are measuring community indicators around those priorities. We are seeing where there's needs in those five priorities. And then we are developing funding and partnering with programs to make sure that they have the resources available to serve St. Lucie County families in those five priority areas.
You just made me very tired. I know that we do all of that stuff, but that list, that's a lot.
Look, that's not a good compliment to give somebody on a radio program. You just made me want to fall asleep. Your voice is so droning and you just rattled on so much that I just want to fall asleep.
That's not what I said. It's just a lot of work. I mean, and I think for some of our longtime listeners, they probably understand that Sean and I are very proud of the work that we do here. And I would think that that probably is true for everyone on our team. But, you know, often we use this radio show as a way to sort of highlight some of that work that's being done in the community. And so that's a really good reason to listen to the radio show, to learn about the programs that are working in those priority areas. But also just kind of to get an update on where our community's at in relation to how we're serving children. And that's kind of what we talk about on this show, out in the community, other places.
Come for the resources and information, stay for the humor. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. So you and I joked before the show started, like, what are we going to talk about today? But I thought of something and I want to highlight this because,
by the way, listener, she didn't tell me what it was. So I'm going to find out just as you do.
It's a surprise for everyone. But, you know, we talk a lot about the information that we share on our website at csclc.org, but also on Facebook. And particularly in the summer, we get tagged a lot in photos, awesome photos on Facebook that our summer learning programs are participating in. And it is thanks to a partnership that we have with the St. Lucie County Chamber of Commerce and our Summer Passport Program. So I don't know if you've been paying attention to all of the tags that we've gotten this summer, Sean, but the kids in our programs are going to some really cool places and getting the opportunity to do some really cool things thanks to that partnership. And we get some really awesome pictures because of it. And so we're sharing them too on Facebook. So again, follow us on Facebook and you can stay up to date on all that stuff. But our kids are getting, they've gone sailing with Sail at Key. They have gotten to ride jet skis with Salty's Water Sports. They've been to Urban Air. They have churned butter at Heathcote Botanical Gardens. Like, there is a long list of things that they have been able to do through that program. And it's just really cool to get to see the pictures of all the opportunities that they've gotten.
So help me out. If someone were wanting to search that, how do you search that on Facebook?
So some of our passport program partners, it's a mouthful, passport program partners, some of them are good about tagging the photos. And so if you actually search hashtag Summer Passport SLC, there's a lot of photos that come up. I will give a big shout out to Lisa from Lisa's Kayaks. She is amazing about posting every single group that comes through. And, you know, a lot of the kids, we've talked about this before, a lot of the kids that get to experience those opportunities, like the sailing or the jet skiing or kayaking tours with Lisa's Kayaks, they've never been in the river before. They've never been to the ocean before. Despite living a few miles from it. So it's really amazing, life-changing experiences that they're getting to have through this partnership and their participation in the summer learning program. So it's a lot of fun to get to watch those all come in all summer long.
No, it's very cool. I just did it. I found the churning butter one.
Yeah, which again, like I grew up here. Heathcote Botanical Gardens has been here for a long time in our community. I never got to do that there. Might need to go experience some churning butter.
Like at one point, I don't know if you knew this. When I lived in Indiana, I lived in Elkhart, Indiana, which is part Amish, if you believe it or not.
Really?
And so, yeah, I've churned butter before. I've also driven on roads where cart and buggies go. And let me tell you, those roads are not good for your suspension and shocks.
I did not know that. Look, I learned something new about you today.
So we have a special guest with us, and it's her first time.
I know. I'm surprised.
So I can't decide if we should be extra nice or extra, you know, like kind of haze a little bit.
Okay. Well, being that she might be one of the nicest humans I've ever met,
doesn't know that. So
I feel like we should be nice.
All right. I'm going to let her in.
Okay. So we are excited. In a relatively new role for her, but not new to us, but a great partnership that we have had with her and this program for a long time. Now the two are just blended together. Kathy Chang is with us from Tykes and Teens. She is their trauma-informed care coordinator and has been amazing already. I feel like it's not that new, right? Kaz, how long have you been there now?
So I've been here. I just had my 90-day review.
After 90 days, you can now go on the radio.
Yeah. That was it. That was your hazing period. But already, I feel like in those 90 days, while, again, this was not a new position or a new program, Kathy has really come in and hit the ground running for us and the role that she plays in our program, but also for the community, offering trainings to our funded program partners, doing a lot of work with them directly, and just really being an amazing advocate for trauma-informed care in our community. So thank you for all of that.
Well, thank you for those kind words. Thank you so much. I'm really enjoying it. It's been a great fit. Yes, it was kind of a segue, but it's been a great fit. I really feel passionate about the work.
You know, it's funny, we were just talking about, I had this written down and I didn't get a chance to bring it up. We talked about that we don't do this show professionally and this isn't our expertise, but we're very focused on our five priorities. And you talked about how committed the staff is, but I also think part of the reason why I think programs like what we're going to talk about today and even the Children's Services Council, it's the passion behind it, right? If you believe in what you do, you know, obviously it's a job, but you do it with as much as you can because you believe in the work. And I think that's true of Cassie and obviously the team here at Children's Service Council. But actually, we always say this, we're like, we're not going to talk nonprofit world because, you know, there's a whole different language. You know, there's French, there's Spanish, there's Russian, there's Portuguese,
there's
nonprofit speak. It's all different languages. But you said trauma-informed care. Now, anybody that's ever worked in the nonprofit world, they're probably like, oh, I know exactly what that is. But I'm going to guess most people have no idea when we say those three words together. So Cassie, do you want to explain maybe what that is, or at least kind of give us the foundation?
Yes. So generally speaking, trauma-informed care is a process of recognizing how widespread trauma is in our society. And then after recognizing that, learning the information that you need to know, and then moving in a direction of being what we call healing centered. So it's in our culture, it's in our approaches, it can go as far as our policy and procedures. The ultimate goal, though, is just to not re-traumatize those who have already experienced trauma.
And so kind of to Sean's point, when we say trauma, I know that encompasses a lot of different things.
And being on this radio show, trauma. Just kidding. Just kidding.
Lies. This is your favorite part of the week. Don't lie. But when we're talking about it in that way, like, what is trauma? What constitutes trauma for an individual?
Okay, so it's generally summed up into the three E's. So first, you have to have some form of an event that happens. It can be a single event. It can be a series of events. It can be a set of circumstances. So it can also be a set of experiences that occur long term, like your environment that you grew up in as a child. And that's where we get into something called the ACEs, which are adverse childhood experiences. And we can talk more about that in a bit. So we start with an event. The event itself is not enough for it to be considered trauma. The event then leads to our experience. It's how we perceive the event. And most often, in order for it to be considered a trauma, after that perceived experience, then we have to have some form of an effect. That effect can be physiological, psychological. That effect can impact our social well-being, our spiritual well-being. It has to have a lasting impact on us. So we have those threes make up something that is considered a trauma: event, experience, and an effect.
And obviously trauma, it's more of a, for lack of a better word, negative effect, right?
Yes, a negative effect.
I never heard anybody say I had a great birthday party, and boy, that was traumatic.
absolutely. So yes, all those effects that I listed, it has to be a negative effect on us in some way.
And so you know, and I know we're going to talk about, obviously, this is the Children's Services Council radio half hour. So, of course, we're going to talk about children. But obviously, those three things, the trauma, it can have impact that lasts beyond just, let's say something happened in a year. It could last almost a lifetime and take on many different, what I want to say, effects on you, whether it be mentally, physically, through time, unless that trauma is addressed.
Most definitely. So a lot of the study that we have as far as, some form of a measurable outcome for that work was a study called the ACEs. And the ACEs stands for Adverse Childhood Experiences. And so what those childhood experiences are based on three categories: abuse, physical, emotional, or sexual, neglect, physical or emotional, and then a household dysfunction that occurred in the home environment where a child was being raised. So that could be an incarcerated caregiver or parent, divorce in the home, domestic violence or partner violence in the home, substance use in the home, and a caregiver with untreated mental illness. So there was a study, it actually started off as a weight loss study, and the weight loss study ended up becoming the largest public health study done that concluded at the end that adverse childhood experiences are the single greatest unaddressed public health threat facing our nation today. And that quote was from Dr. Robert Block, who was former president of the American Academy of Pediatrics. And the reason that it started off as a weight study is the patients that were starting to gain the weight back after their weight loss, the lead physician just started asking some questions that traditionally had never been asked in medical practice, or his medical practice. And then that's when they started recognizing that there was a bigger area that they needed to look into. And so Kaiser Permanente and CDC headed up the study.
And I think what's so interesting about it, and I think this is probably when that study came out, and you know, the ensuing conversations that have happened have really been probably the first time that people started tying mental health and physical health together.
Absolutely.
Because there was always sort of like that disconnect, right, between, oh, that's like a mental problem and it's not impacting my health in any way, so I don't need to worry about that. But I think, you know, the conversations that have been had since that study came out, locally, nationwide, internationally, have really kind of proven that that's not true. There's a direct impact between your mental health and the way that your body is impacted by it.
Absolutely. It did start to reframe that conversation. Yes. And the ACEs, they were able to look at those health impacts. And some of those health impacts include things like obesity and diabetes, COPD, broken bones, you know, all can be linked to untreated adverse childhood experiences. And then also social behaviors, alcoholism, smoking, drug use, and those factors put together impact our life potential, graduation rates, academic achievement, loss of time from work.
So is it just the trauma? I mean, I know we're kind of getting a little off topic and I'm the one doing it. is the trauma just like, you know, because trauma can happen throughout your whole time period on this earth, right? So is it just that when you're as a child, or is it all trauma has that kind of, can potentially have that kind of impact if not addressed?
So the ACE study, they focused on adverse childhood experiences, but I think it's fair to say that there are different factors that play into it. So a person who maybe experienced a single event trauma, there's a lot of factors that would play into it, such as their resiliency point that they're starting with, and how they perceive the experience, how they made meaning of the experience, or you know, what type of support system they had, what type of help they had access to as far as resources. There's a lot of factors that go into it. But yes, it can definitely, any trauma can have a lasting impact.
So as adults, you know, I know this for a fact, not a lot of children listen to this radio program, because why would they? they surely have something better to do. but for the people that are listening, why is it important that we know, you know, if a child's had trauma? Obviously, if it's your child, you want to make sure you're addressing the mental and behavioral, mental and physical health, behavioral health, I should say. But like, as just general adult population, whether, let's say we're going to a church and we run a church group, or we're in the classroom, or maybe we do work for a program, is there a reason why we need to know if that child's had trauma, or does it show in other ways?
So yes, the trauma will show through a lot of different behaviors that are obvious. And the behaviors can vary. It's not a one size fits all. Some children may experience trauma and they may have behaviors that are more aggressive and intense. Other children may experience trauma and they may become more withdrawn and quiet and not socializing with kids. Some of the impacts can start off as being more physical, headaches and stomach aches. Some of it can be seen in repetitive play. There are a lot of factors and circumstances that go into it. Something that we kind of focus on in our training is for child care providers or direct care providers. If you know for a fact that a child has experienced a trauma, of course, we want to link them to the appropriate resources and interventions. But the work for the direct providers is really, I like to say, universal precautions theory. We just behave as if we treat all individuals with the same response. And if we're seeing a behavior, we seek first to understand instead of just assume that that behavior has a negative connotation behind it, if I'm making sense. So it's really a universal approach of how we address children and their needs and helping them to handle some of the long-term consequences that can come up, such as lack of regulation and impulse control and some of those other factors.
So, you know, Cassie, for our listeners to understand really how you work with those direct service providers, is there an example or a story that you could share about like something that happened in a program where a youth was identified, this situation came up, and kind of how you guys helped the program navigate that situation?
So
sorry, putting you on the spot there.
So I'm thinking, so I can tell you, I was without asking, you know, any programs, I was recently in a training and we were focused on adolescents and talking about some circumstances that had occurred previously and some of the things that we were teaching through our program, de-escalation strategies. Another person in the training had partnered with their coworker and said, you know, we had this experience last week. Had we used some of these strategies, perhaps the outcome would have been different. So they were able to recognize how some of those strategies would have really taken a situation and prevented it from kind of becoming a little more intense than it needed to be, if that makes sense.
So, Cassie, how will you deal with the trauma of actually putting you on the spot for your first time on the radio? I'm just teasing.
So, we do teach a lot of mindfulness strategies and breathing exercises. So, not to joke, but the reason that we teach that is a lot of times trauma shows up as a behavior before it shows up as a memory. And that is something that we really try to hone in on. And if we can address the behaviors in a pro-social way, in a positive way, to help the child be safe, to help the environment be safe, and not, unintentionally escalate or re-traumatize the child, then that's a success. And especially in kids, you're going to see it more behaviorally because they have limited vocabulary, limited cognitive development, and they're not going to be able to say things as quickly as they can show them. And something else that I wanted to add to the conversation is on the opposite side of ACEs, it's also important to note that it's not all bad news. we have something called neuroplasticity. So our brains are kind of like plastic, and especially children when their brains are developing, but even adults, we have the ability to learn strategies and tools and practices and skills and create environments that help to heal the trauma and the impact that it does to the brain physiological. So we can actually reverse some of that impact through the right environment. And the opposite side of ACEs, which are the adverse childhood experiences, are positive childhood experiences. So those are things like being able to talk to a caring or supportive person about your feelings and being able to feel like you are part of a community, having traditions in that community. And it doesn't have to be our physical community, you know, like where we think of houses in a community. It can be that environment that we go to at our school or at our daycare center or at our after-school program. And then here's the important one. And I feel like this is where Children's Services Council is so important in the work that you do and the programs that you fund, because you've really helped to support this, is having two adults that are not parents who take interest in you. So those are just a list of some of the factors that can really help to heal, if you will.
And so obviously we work with you, and I just want to maybe our listeners to understand the kind of the work that you do with our programs is you work with, and I'm going to tell you what you do. Why don't you tell us what you do? I was like, why am I explaining it? She knows it way better than I do. But so you work with our programs to make sure that they're approaching their work and working with children from a trauma-informed way.
Yes, absolutely. So we offer training to their staff. We have a whole series of trainings that we offer. One of the trainings has two focuses on understanding trauma, understanding the impact of trauma, understanding what it looks like, and then focusing on those environmental strategies to make sure that we're being trauma responsive and the things that we do day to day. And then we also work on some tools, some skills, motivational interviewing, mindfulness practices. And then we pour a little bit into the providers, because it really starts with a strong adult present. So we work with them on understanding things like compassion fatigue and resiliency and, you know, recognizing our own individual needs so that that doesn't show up unintendedly, unintended in the work that we're doing, you know, on the ground when the kids come in, because, you know, adults are human too. And it really starts with the eye.
I think when we started this program, I can remember a couple things, and I'm not going to recap them as well as I remember them in my head. But one was, you know, some programs, like if a child was acting out in an after school program, they were just sending that child home. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times not realizing that they were impacted by trauma, that behavior was a result of trauma. And first, I can remember one particular one, the trauma was happening at home. And so we're, you know, a kid was acting out. Instead of addressing that underlying issue, they're, you know, they're like, you can't stay here anymore. Go back to the home where you're being traumatized. And then the other thing that stood out was when we started this program, and particularly working with a subset of one of our priority areas, was that we found out that a lot of the people that were working with the kids had their own trauma from when they were a kid, and you bring that with you. And so a lot of it was getting them to recognize where they were at and where they are at approaches where they're, you know, behaving and acting with the kids as well. So it's really been a great program to kind of recognize and kind of bring to the forefront how important it is to look at trauma.
Yes, absolutely. And I kind of feel on a personal note that there's a lot that can help from a larger lens. Like, of course, it starts in the child care center. That individual is getting is in an environment that is helpful to them and their needs. Those adults are also learning ways to best interact with those kids and help themselves. But in the long run, the more we do that, the stronger of a community we have, because right. We're breaking that cycle of trauma.
Right. So we've got like a couple minutes left on the show. And if anybody's listening, we assume some people are listening. For our listeners,
a few people.
I always say that, Ashley. I don't know why. I've got trauma about this show. No, just kidding. But for our listeners, if they're interested, you know, because I know that, you know, Ashley, we were talking before, we know a lot of people listen to our program on the way to church, on the way back from church. You know, they may have an active church group, an active youth group. If they're working with adults, is there a way for them to become trauma informed?
Yes. So we have a couple different programs through Tykes and Teens and a couple different grants for our trauma-informed care work that we're doing. So I can give out my email address. And if anyone would like to email me, I'll be happy to get you in touch with the appropriate contacts.
Sure.
It's Cassie, Cassey, and then the letter C, at tykesandteens.org. And then if there's someone who's looking for general services offered through Tykes and Teens, because we do have other programs, we have, in addition to prevention and education, we also have therapy and counseling and an infant mental health program. So I'll be happy to give out the general number if anyone could benefit from that. And it is 772-220-3439.
Thank you, Cassie. So, and again, we'll encourage everybody to check out Tykes and Teens. And just so you know, listeners, and is actually spelled out. It's Tykes and literally Teens, not the symbol. Tykes and Teens. Check out their website. I know they're also active on social media. But again, you can contact Casey at Casey, which is with two S's, Cassey, at tykesandteens.org, or call 772-220-3439. Because wouldn't it be great, listeners, if everybody understood a trauma-informed care approach? It would change the way that we interact with each other, and it would just make our county even that much stronger, because I know it's doing it for our funded programs. All right, Cassie, thank you for coming on. It wasn't too bad, right?
No, not too bad at all. I appreciate the opportunity to talk about this work. As you can see, I do feel like it is very meaningful. And so thank you for that. And thank you for funding this work and for making the community better for all of us. So thank you.
Thank you. And you're at the right place if you need to work through any trauma of being on this show. You can just talk to some of the people that work in Tykes and Teens. I'm just kidding. Just remember it was Ashley that asked you that surprise question. All right, folks, thank you for listening. We're appreciative of every listener. A reminder that it's a weekly radio program every Sunday on 104.5 The Flame at 10 a.m. But don't fear, don't fret if you happen to miss the airing live. You can download the podcast version. Just pull up your favorite podcast app, including those that are on iPhones. You're welcome, Ashley. And just look up Community Connections with Children's Services Council, and through the magic and the internet, it'll be there. Thank you for tuning in, and a reminder that it's our children, our community, our future. We're all in this together. We'll see you next time.